reading this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 14 today, the passage that Brother Colin just read for us. Today we continue our Advent series, which has been entitled Unto Us. Christ is given, of course, from the book of Isaiah, with the lighting of this fourth candle this morning on the Advent wreath, which is traditionally meant to signify peace. That's what it's meant to portray. And so this morning I want us to see from this text in John 14 how the Advent brings us peace. How the Advent brings us peace. I think among all the other concepts that we've looked at, that peace seems to be kind of the pinnacle of each and every one of them. And after all, in one of the most well-known portions of Scripture that tells the Christmas story, that passage in Luke chapter 2 that we looked at last Sunday, the angels, they said to the shepherds there in verse 14, they said to them in the King James Version anyways, peace on earth. That's what they said, peace on earth. And so peace is therefore, it's obviously something that the coming of Jesus Christ, that the advent of Christ was meant to bring. But the irony is, however, that when we tie this concept of peace together with our passage today, and really the surrounding context of our passage, it would seem as if Jesus brought the exact opposite of peace, especially during his first advent. And while Luke 2, that we looked at last Sunday, looks at the very beginning of the human life of the Lord Jesus Christ, John 14 looks at the very end, just before his death by crucifixion. So just a couple verses up in verses 18 and 19 of our text, Jesus states openly to his disciples. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. And then in verse 25 of our text today, Christ reiterates the fact that he would be departing from them very shortly. Notice verse 25, it says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. While I am still with you. And so, very clearly, Jesus was teaching that his first advent was going to come to an end, and that he would indeed be departing from them soon. And worse than this, he would be leaving them in a really a great time of unrest and upheaval. He's going to say in the very next chapter, in chapter 15, how people are going to hate them simply because they follow Jesus, simply because they consider themselves Christians. And Jesus tells them that they are going to have sorrows, that they are going to have tribulations in John chapter 16. And these things, of course, would be seen most prominently in the book when Jesus was, of course, taken and scourged and crucified, and thus ending his first advent here on earth. And this then being followed by, as we've been going through in the book of Acts, and we're going to return to that in January, but followed by all the vast persecutions that Christians have had to endure really since the church's inception. But more than this, while he rose from the dead, he then, after his resurrection, he ascended. He went up into heaven and indeed left everyone behind, just like he said that he would. And while as God's Son, Jesus, of course, is God, and so that means that he is indeed omnipresent. Even though he's omnipresent, even though he's here with us in a spiritual sense, Jesus himself is not currently here on earth with us. He is not here physically with us the way that he was during his first advent. You cannot physically see Jesus Christ. You can't shake his hand. You can't hear his voice. You're just not. He's in heaven. He's there right now. And these things are very far cries from that peace on earth that the angels told the shepherds about on that first Christmas with the first advent of Jesus. And so we have to ask the question. What is Jesus talking about here? What exactly is he talking about? What kind of peace is he talking about in John 14? And how exactly does the first advent of Jesus Christ, how does it bring true peace even though Jesus is not currently here? Even though his first advent, is essentially over. Well, first and foremost, point number one today, the advent of Christ brings us peace because of the advent of the Holy Spirit. Because of the advent of the Holy Spirit. Read with me again verse 26. Notice it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And so, according to these verses, even though Christ's first advent would indeed come to an end, he promises the advent of, if you will, of another. Namely, in this particular case, the Helper. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And so, with the finality of Christ's first advent, we have the beginning, really, of another advent. The coming of that third member of the Godhead, who is equal to God the Father, and equal to God the Son in power and might, equal in deity, God the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus is saying that even though his first advent might be coming to a close, that they can indeed have this peace that the angels talked about all those years ago, that they can have the peace knowing that God indeed will never, ever, ever leave them, nor forsake them. And that even though the one that was prophesied of, the one that was entitled Emmanuel, God with us, even though he is now gone, that God will still be with us despite the Son's physical departure. And because of that, we can indeed have peace. But from the words of Jesus himself from our text, we can catch a glimpse of the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in that purpose, I think that we find one of the answers to how the Advent itself, Christ's Advent, actually brings peace to us. Notice, according to Christ, he gives us peace because of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, which he states in verse 26, is to bring to our remembrance all that Christ has said to you. That's his purpose. And so clearly, Jesus is teaching that the purpose of the Advent of the Holy Spirit is to point us to, and indeed help us remember everything that Christ has said to us. And again, that's where the term helper becomes very, very important there. That's how he describes the Holy Spirit, as a helper. Helper there in the Greek is the term parakletos. You probably heard that term before, paraklete, which literally means comforter, means counselor, it means advocate. And so the purpose of the Holy Spirit is thus to be a helper, to help us, to comfort us, to console us with all of the promises that Jesus Christ gave during his first advent here on earth. But the question is, how? How exactly does the Holy Spirit do this? How does he do this purpose? Well, we're told in scriptures that when someone places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they are saved, that the Holy Spirit comes to indwell that person. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 very clearly state this. And so, the advent of the Holy Spirit is, in his coming to us, is obviously a very, very different kind of advent than that of Jesus. Obviously, he is a spirit, which by definition is something that you cannot see, something untangible. I mean, they're there in one sense, dwelling inside and residing inside the Christian, but you can't see them. But what we understand from 1 Corinthians is that if you are in Jesus Christ today, if you are a Christian today, a true Christian, that you have the Holy Spirit residing right inside of you. He is with you right now. Again, you won't be able to physically see him. You won't be able to hear him the way that we can hear and see Jesus Christ. Again, he's not going to appear to you like, you know, some kind of forced ghost and tell you to go to the Dagobah system or whatever, you know. And again, I'm kind of into Star Wars this week, for those of you who know me and know why. But the Holy Spirit's not going to do that. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. And so the question is that if you can't see him and he resides inside of us, and he doesn't appear before us, how exactly can the Holy Spirit give peace of the remembrance of the teachings of Jesus Christ? How does he do this? Well, I'm just going to tell you that he does so through this. He does so through his written word, through the Holy Bible. The Bible is how we attain the promise of peace that Christ promised through the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Bible, of course, is inspired by God, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and more so than that, that the Holy Spirit was actually the one part of the Godhead who actually inspired the Scriptures. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by who? They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so very clearly, the Holy Spirit is the one who helped to carry along. He is the one that helped to inspire those men to write the Bible that you have sitting in your lap today. And so in essence, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was the one who wrote your Bible. That's who wrote your Bible. The Holy Spirit carried along Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and a whole bunch of others who experienced that physical Jesus Christ to point us back to Him and to point us back to the promises that He made to us in order for us to have that peace that the angels promised the shepherds and the peace that Jesus promises to us today. And so we need to remember this. We need to remember that in order to attain the peace that Jesus promised through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit always, 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 always works in conjunction with the Word of God. Always. Always. That's how the Holy Spirit works. In other words, if you want to find this true peace of the Holy Spirit, you need to go to the one place where God's Spirit has revealed Himself. You need to go to the Bible. Mark my words, if you are not in your Bible and you are not in the Bible regularly, you are not going to have that peace of the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus here. Don't be surprised if you're not in your Bible that you don't have peace. It's not going to come to you. And this is proven further when we see that there are only a few other places in the Bible where we actually read of the Holy Spirit actually speaking audibly to people. It's a very, very rare occurrence in the Scriptures to actually read of the Holy Spirit speaking. For instance, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this in chapter 3, verse 7. I've used this example before, but it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says," and then there's a quotation. It says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." And you'll notice that it says that the Holy Spirit, again, is speaking here. And yet, when He speaks, we notice that the Spirit is quoting what? The Spirit's quoting the Bible. He's quoting Psalm 95 right there. And so clearly, the way in which we hear from the Holy Spirit and the way that in which we hear His voice is through the written Bible. And so if you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you today, do you want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you today? Go home, read your Bible, read it out loud. I guarantee you, you'll hear the Holy Spirit speak. All right? That's how it works. All right? And so, in way of application, I mean, I'm just going to ask you today. Are you struggling? Are you struggling to find peace this year, believer? Are you struggling to find peace? Well, of course, it's 2020. We're all struggling to find peace, right? Believer, seek help from the Helper. Seek help from the Helper who resides, if you are in Him today, right inside of you, whose words are right there in the book that is sitting in your lap today, Lord. Go to the Word of God. Go to Him and hear it from God the Spirit, from the Comforter, the Spirit of the living God, and you will, I guarantee you, you will find peace. God hasn't left you alone. And He hasn't left you without words of all these things that we've been discussing. Words of hope, words of joy, words of love, and indeed He hasn't left you without words of peace. They're right at your fingertips, just screaming out to you, go to the Word. The question is today is, are you going to listen to the Spirit? Are you going to listen to Him? Will you listen to the Spirit by going to this book today and reading of the pages of how He has revealed Christ to you? Again, I promise you, believer, that after just a few pages of reading this book, God will indeed give you the peace that you seek. I guarantee it. But moving on. Point number two, the advent of Christ brings God's gracious peace to us as we continue through our text. Read with me verse 27. It says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so you notice as you read these texts, and if you read this verse very carefully, that Jesus says here that this is not just some kind of generic kind of peace that He is offering. This peace that Christ is talking about, notice, is my peace. This is my peace, His own personal brand of peace, as, by the way, only the Son of God can give. And so the question needs to be asked, is, what does He mean by my peace? What kind of peace is this? Well, He answered this by contrasting His peace with a different kind of peace, namely a peace that the world gives, as He says there. And so Jesus is saying is that there is a difference between His kind of peace that He is offering and the world's peace. And so another question that needs to be asked is, what exactly is this worldly kind of peace as opposed to God the Son's peace? Well, oftentimes in Eastern religious paganism and really in much of modern secular psychological world, you're going to hear the term utilized, you're going to hear this term inner peace. You'll hear that term. And finding this inner peace really is kind of the ultimate goal in order to basically free yourself of all your burdens, free yourself of your anxieties, the problems in the world and in your life. Find this inner peace. Whether it's your own self-esteem that you're seeking, or finding yourself, or whatever other terminology you want to add to it, this kind of peace is ultimately rooted in oneself. It's inner peace. It's something that you seek on your own. It's something that you find on your own. It's something that you attain all on your own, apart from anything outside of yourself. It's indeed inner peace. It comes from the inner self. That's why it's called that. In this text, Jesus actually describes the inner self. Notice, he describes it in verse 27 as the heart. Notice, he's again not referring to that physical muscle that's inside your body pumping blood right now. He's referring to your innermost being. That's what the term is referring to. In this particular case, Jesus implies that what naturally comes from the heart, from the inner self, is trouble, as he says, is fear. He says, do not fear, let not your hearts be what? Trouble. So the natural thing that comes from the heart is trouble, is fear. Our inner selves, our hearts are sometimes really, if we're really honest with ourselves, it's often troubled. It's often afraid, according to Jesus. And again, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe that the natural inclination of the heart is fear and trouble, just look at the world around us today, right? I mean, there is so much trouble and there is so much fear in the world around us, from politics to the pandemic, even in the hearts of many Christians today. It's just there. What our hearts are naturally inclined to be is troubled and fear. Fearful, afraid. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, the kind of peace that Jesus offers, it's not something that you can find on your own. It's not something that is to be found deep down in the lowest recesses of your heart. It's not inner peace. It's instead something that, according to him, according to verse 27, needs to be given. Notice, read carefully verse 27. He says, my peace I give you. My peace I give you. And so rather than having an inner peace or a peace that comes from your heart, Jesus tells us that true peace, true and lasting peace, is an outer peace. It's an alien peace. It's given from someplace else. In this particular case, it's given from God. It's given from God's Son. There's a difference between this worldly peace and God's peace. You don't find true peace in yourself. You don't find it in your heart. God must graciously open your heart and give you this peace. And again, it can only come from the gracious hand of God, which brings us to the fact that God's peace is always, 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 always tied to His grace. Grace and peace. Oftentimes in Scripture, if you're a careful reader, Paul especially equates grace and peace together, usually at the beginning or at the end of his letters. He'll say, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And there's a list of those up on the screen behind me if you want to take a look at those. Usually right at the beginning of Paul's epistles. And so we see that the grace of God is obviously that's something very much related to the peace of God, according to these verses. And so the question needs to be asked is why? Why is grace always associated with peace? Why do these two things go together? Well, as we know, if you've been going to church for any length of time, we know that grace is defined as what? Grace is defined as unmerited favor. Unmerited. And so it's not something that you can conjure up in and of yourself. It's not something that you can produce in your own heart by something that you do or you don't do. You can't do anything to attain grace. If you could do something to attain the grace of God, then it wouldn't be true grace. True grace must be, according to Jesus, given. It must be given to you. And therefore, when you have truly been given the grace of God, in this particular case, in regard to your salvation, when you've been given that grace, you will necessarily be given also the peace of God. You will have grace and you will have peace. How so? Well, as we said before, through the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence in your heart. And when He takes up residence in your heart, He recalls all those things to remembrance, all those things and all those promises that Jesus said. And what exactly did Jesus say? It's good to go and remind yourself. Well, He said that by faith alone in Him. Faith alone in Him that your sins are forgiven, that you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that you can trust him to provide for every single one of your needs. Jesus said that you can trust him that, as I've been talking about through this whole series, that he will indeed return one day. And he's going to make this world right again. And thus, because God has shown you this tremendous amount of grace in Christ, and I could just go on and on and on with the promises of Christ, but because he's shown you this amazing amount of grace, you necessarily have the peace that comes along with all of those promises. That's what happens. If God's grace was something, again, that could be earned, or if something that was found outside of yourself, you could never really have true and everlasting peace, because we'd always be wondering whether or not we're doing enough or doing the right things enough to attain the grace of God. We wouldn't have the peace of knowing that God himself gave me this grace. He settled my sin debt before him. We wouldn't have the peace of knowing that God saved me based upon his own gracious will, based upon reasons that I will never, ever understand. And because God saved us, because God saved me, we can never, ever, ever lose our salvation. A God who begins your salvation will indeed bring it to completion, as Paul says in Philippians. And so the point is, you can only experience the true peace of God if you experience today the grace of God. And you can only experience the grace of God by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. The only way to experience the grace of God, by believing that Jesus came to die on the cross as payment for your sin, that he rose again the third day to show you that everlasting life is found in him and in him alone, the entire purpose of the first Advent. And so I just say this, is that if you're struggling today to find true peace, you got to stop looking inside yourself and you got to start looking to God. It's the only way you're going to find true peace. I promise you today that if you look to Jesus Christ, if you believe in him with all your heart, if you trust him for your salvation, I promise you today that you will have peace. The Bible calls it a peace that passes all understanding. And so I would tell you today, whether you're watching online or whether you're here today, and I don't care if you claim to be a Christian your entire life, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ today, experience the grace of God by doing so today. Humbly come before him and place your faith in Christ today and find that true peace. Find salvation. Become a Christian today. Know Christ. And for the believers that are struggling with today, with finding peace in the same vein, I would just say the same exact thing as I just said to everybody else. Stop looking within yourself for your own peace and look to the gospel. Look to your Lord and Savior once again. As Jesus said here, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? Why is this? Because as Jesus said, if you're in him today, you have a helper. You have the Holy Spirit who promises to help you to remember each and every single one of those promises that God the Son has made to you throughout his word. And so I would just say, believer, if you're struggling with peace today, cry out to him for that peace today. Cry out to him. Do it with the passion that you did when you first became a Christian. And again, ask him. Ask him to help you to remember the things that Jesus said. Help him. Ask him to give you a passion for his word, that you would go to his word today to read it and to study it like you never have before. We're approaching 2021. A lot of times we start new Bible reading schedules, and oftentimes, if we're honest with ourselves, after about a month, we put them aside. Don't put it aside this year. Read through the whole Bible. Get in the Word this year and remember all the promises that God has for you so that the Holy Spirit can work inside of you this year and give you the peace that he promises. And again, if you do this, I promise you that you will indeed find the peace that the Advent of Christ, that the Christmas season, Christmas holiday is meant to bring. I promise you. And so, as we consider this final point of Christ's Advent today, I pray that you will indeed return Thursday night. Pray that you would return Thursday night for our candlelight service, because it's kind of all part of the Advent season. Advent technically ends on Christmas Eve. And that's kind of what the Advent wreath here kind of represents here. That final night, you'll notice that there's one candle that is not lit, the white candle there, and that's meant to represent Christ. It's the Christ candle. And again, what we normally do and what we're going to do is we're going to, during our candlelight service, symbolically light these little candles from that Christ candle, which symbolizes how the gospel of Jesus Christ, how true faith, how true salvation can only be sparked from him. how the light of the world can only be shown from Him. And again, I would just encourage you to come back out on Thursday nights. It's a great service. It's probably one of my favorite services of the year, and I'm just so thankful for it. So Thursday night at 4 p.m., but until then, I would just pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit this week, that God's gracious peace would indeed be found in each and every single one of us as we celebrate this Christmas season. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for your peace. God, it indeed passes all understanding because it is rooted in you. Lord, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit whom you have sent. God, you never left us alone. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And even now, as Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father on high, awaiting that glorious day when he returns, and even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray that we may be before the end of this prayer. But Lord, as we await that time, God, we're thankful. We're thankful that we do not have to do this alone. That we have your Spirit residing inside of us each and every day, helping us to recall all of the things that you promised while you were here on earth. God, help us to go to that word today. Help us not to be strangers to this book. Help us to know it, to delve deep into it. God, so that we might know you better. God, that we might love you better. God, that we might live the Christian life better, that we might love each other better. Lord knows the world needs it. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us passion for your word. And God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in our hearts and grow us as believers day by day. Convict us of sin, helping us to trust you moment by moment. And God, indeed, helping us to believe the gospel more and more and more. And Lord, I would pray today for any who are here today in our midst, or anybody who are online, or might hear this recording later, who do not know you as their personal Savior, have never come to you in saving faith, God, that they would cry out to you today in saving faith, God, that they would be saved, that you would send your Spirit, cause them to be born again, God, giving them this saving faith, and God, that by your grace, God, that they would just have this peace that we have talked about today from this text. Lord, I pray, move in their hearts and save. But Lord, we thank you so much for this time. And again, we pray, Lord, for your coming, and your coming soon, God, as we reflect back upon your first advent. Again, fill our hearts with joy, fill our hearts with peace, God, fill our hearts with love, and God, all of the things, God, that you have promised in your word. We love you, and we praise you, and we give this time to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.